Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Watch your back, son. I'm Luke. I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation. It's a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica with my not completely silent co-host, Ripley. Ripley, why don't you say hi? This is the first show since Halloween that I have attempted to record with Ripley in the room. You may remember that one failed recording, Ben. I was either on the verge of tears or actually crying because I was so frustrated with the puppy situation, blowing a couple of recording days for us. But she's back.
Yeah.
And she's got a Chewy.
Hey.
And this thing might just work.
That's great. Darwin is actually here as well. So hopefully he can serve as a role model. He, being a 7-year-old boy, is a sleepyhead now.
Yeah.
Barely ever wants to go on a walk in the morning. Like, it used to be that I would walk this dog like between 5 and 10 miles every day.
God.
And I try to take him on a morning walk now, and he does his business and then just starts hauling as hard as he can back toward the house.
That's amazing.
Like, most of the exercise he gets before noon is just like the physical work of pulling my body weight toward our house.
So you're saying I have only 6.5 more years to go until that blessed time?
And then it just throws a switch and that pooch will calm down.
Wow. That's amazing. I think I can make it.
It was actually really amazing how suddenly he changed. Like, right around the time he turned 7, he just kind of became a much lazier dog.
I've been surprised at how quickly the 6-month, you know, bad puppy phase was accurate, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I had heard, you're going to do great with housebreaking. She's going to take to commands easy and training and all that. But then at around 6 months, there's going to be a regression. So watch out for that. And almost to the day at 6 months, shit started falling apart again. And we're back to like waking up a couple times per night to take her out and all the rest. So, excited to see what the next hour and change portends for us.
Yeah, it's me, Adam, his semi-silent co-host, my totally silent co-host, and Adam's mind that is a complete mess.
I'm sure you know the feeling, the kind of cord management you need to do when there's a puppy in your studio.
Oh yeah.
Is a lot. I thought I had them managed before.
Famously, we were recording an episode of Let's Drink About It back in the day when Darwin was a puppy, and he got under the coffee table and chewed through one of the mic cables.
Yeah.
Cut us off mid-episode.
Ripley chewed through a coax cable in our bedroom, and we were like, why aren't we getting any channels anymore? This is weird. And it was straight out of Gremlins, like when the Gremlins chew through the clock radio cable. Like, it looked exactly like that.
It's amazing what these animals are willing to chew.
Hey, look, she got up on the couch.
Be my guest.
Hey, what a cutie. What a cutie pie.
I have a class 2 rating.
Well, do you want to, we just bought this package of Star Trek cards off eBay. Got a whole bunch of Star Trek Voyager trading cards here.
Any interest in going to Card War with me, my friend?
Oh yeah, let's go back once more into the breach.
We're at war.
There's been no formal declaration of war.
Maybe this trip will bring us some luck.
That nonsense is centuries behind us.
War! Go to war!
Yeah, what we've got for the purposes of this game are the Series 2 collector cards. And I don't know about you, Ben, but I have three different flavors of these packages.
Yeah, I bought a selection of sealed-in package cards. It says that there are 8 cards plus 1 tattoo per pack.
Hell yeah.
These are from the Skybox company. Oh, and it's advertising an easy open tab here. What is it talking about?
I hope the Skybox name means that all of these Star Trek Voyager cards will make our characters look like they're playing basketball in the late 90s. I love those era of basketball cards.
Yeah.
I've selected a pack with the Dr. Kes and Neelix on the front.
Oh, that's what I selected as well.
Where's the easy open tab?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that's talking about. I don't see any tab.
You got to buy something first if you want a tab.
My tattoo is probably the most obvious tattoo that you would include in a pack of Star Trek Voyager trading cards, Adam. It's the Chakotay over the eye tattoo.
Yeah, me too. I got the same one.
Is that the only tattoo they gave you?
It looks little. Like, it looks like for a little kid's face.
Yeah, yeah, it's for kid face for sure, which is embarrassing.
You'll love the Michael Westmore designed by credit on this. Like, he's got a great agent. Anything having the Chakotay tattoo has got to have my name on it. Or it's not a Michael Westmore official.
What do you say we flip over a card here, my friend?
Let's do it. There's a lot of like other paperwork in these packs.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, right. I'm ready to flip.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, mine are stuck together. Are yours?
No, mine are not.
I couldn't release it, but now I have.
You get sticky cards. Gross. My card is just a screenshot from Caretaker Part 1, Episode 101 of Star Trek Voyager, and it's a shot of Ensign Kim, Tom Paris, and one of the ladies from the, like, oldie-timey farmhouse sim that the caretaker brought them into.
Yeah.
And Harry Kim is holding a tricorder up to this lady, so seems like he's doing some scanning.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, who knows if that's going to beat the cloud. Is the front of your card, is the only thing on it a star date?
Yes.
Or is it an episode title? That's an interesting choice they made to organize these by star date.
Yeah, it says Caretaker Part 1 on the back.
I'm sure we all remember the episode from Stardate 48546.2. I mean, I barely need to say anything else. That episode is the cleared. And yeah, it's just a picture of the bridge crew on the bridge.
Wow. I really wanted to put the temporary tattoo from the package on and take a picture and send it to Bill Tilly to put on our social media, but I don't think I can in good conscience do the Chakotay tattoo.
No, you can't.
I don't think that's okay.
You could probably do that in private, right? But the thing is, that's how it goes. The pictures from the party always leak, and then you're disgraced after you've already entered politics.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's just a huge bummer.
I'm deeply sorry.
I recently watched an episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta with my wife, and it was a Halloween episode, and they had one of the characters showed up at the Halloween party in a very problematic Native American style costume.
Yeah.
And the choice that the Bravo television network made was to cut around her the entire time. Like, they did not show her in this costume at all because theoretically it was so offensive, except for the like artwork of the episode on Hulu is a shot of her in the costume.
Whoa.
It's a still of her in the costume. So they went all the trouble of editing around this, not showing her in it. And then they made that the icon of the episode.
They I mean, I was going to say, boy, they really fucked her over, but no, like she fucked herself over.
She is the one that made the horrible decision.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. Yeah. Well, too bad for her. All right, let's flip over another card, Ben. Actually, who won? Do we know?
Oh, man. What's on the picture of yours? It's like just the crew,
it's
right?
It's just the crew on the bridge.
I feel like, oh man, like that's kind of interesting. You've got the entire main cast minus Tom and Harry.
Yeah.
And Neelix and Cass.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Tom and Harry, but with a babe.
A total babe.
What wins? I think we got to give it to the babe, right?
Let's hear it for the babe.
All right, let's flip another one over.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Oh, boy, this is just confusing, Ben.
Mm.
I don't know if you and the viewers can see what this is.
Oh, is it like rocks out the window?
This appears to be a puzzle piece.
Oh, interesting.
On the back, it says on-screen scenes. And it shows the larger version of what this would assemble into. And it looks like just a tractor beam being shot at another ship.
What I've got is a card in the category of 24th tech, which is, I guess, a series of cards within these packages. This one is for memory engrams, and it's one of those birdhead people, the people with the feathers on their heads.
That looks like a special card.
We're forcing Tom Paris to remember the murder that they had accused him of doing.
Yeah.
So memory engrams is my card.
I mean, I think just because mine is so inscrutable, you could hardly even call it a card.
Yeah.
I think yours has got to be the winner.
Okay. Do you want to do best of three or best of five? Have I already won or do you still have a shot?
Let's go for one more.
Okay. Let's see what we get. 3, 2, 1. Okay. What I've got here is another Stardate card. This one is of a close-up of Neelix in a clip show device. Oh, this is the episode about the phage. This is the episode that introduced the Vidians, I guess.
Oh, right. And no lungs Neelix, right?
Yeah. They had to give him hollow lungs. I like the picture on the back a lot. It's the moment that Neelix gets the lungs beamed out of his birdie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I got. What'd you get?
I've got a dog that is being loud because she ate her entire chew stick. And I think I need to give her another one. That's what it's going to take, bribery.
Yeah.
My card is less of a card and more of an assignment.
Okay.
Because it is a trivia contest card.
That's just what you need.
You like that?
Yeah.
Here's the question. It's the game within a game, Ben.
I love this.
You're already ahead in Card War. How about if you get this right, you'll obviously win Card War. But if you get it wrong, you lose Card War and I automatically win. What do you think of that?
Please don't tell me the cost of losing is putting on the temporary tattoo.
I promise I won't take a picture.
I cannot change the decisions I made.
Ben, the question is this. As he died, the entity known to the Ocampa as the Caretaker revealed to Captain Janeway and Lieutenant Tuvok that his reason for bringing them here was to A. use their technology to augment the Ocampa water supply. B. Find his companion, the missing Caretaker. Or C. procreate a replacement.
I think it was C. Didn't he want to fuck?
Ben, this card does not have an answer to these questions.
Wow.
I mean, it's definitely not A. We can get rid of A.
Oh, you know what?
I think it's B, isn't it? Isn't it finding his companion? Isn't that... I mean...
People are screaming at their podcatchers. I'm seeing on some of this extra paperwork that was included in these
these
packages that you answer these and you send it in and then it's like a contest.
Question four, yeah. Oh shit. This is so embarrassing. Well, here's what I'm gonna do, Ben.
I think what you can win is a Enterprise A? Why the fuck would you want that if you Oh, no, this is just send us $37 and we'll send you a USS Enterprise model.
All right, Ben, you've said your answer is C. And what I'm going to do is enter your answer onto the little sheet they give you in this package.
Okay.
And then mail it in to the P.O. box that they're asking for. If you're the one of the first 100 entries with all the correct answers drawn, you're going to win a super-sized Sky Motion card from Star Trek Voyager Season 1, Series 2, with an approximate retail value of $39.95 within 6 to 8 weeks after drawing.
Cool.
The drawing took place, Ben, July 1st, 1996.
I still might be within one of the first 100, though, right?
I would argue that less than 100 people did this, so I really like your chances. Just as I like your chances of winning Card War today, which I think everyone can agree you have.
Oh, man. It feels so good to be back at war with you, Adam.
I like that we are using Voyager cards now. Yeah, good stuff.
Fun. Do you want to get into the dankest episode of Star Trek Voyager, Adam?
Now I'm beginning to wonder if I watched the wrong one. Sure.
It's season 4, episode 20. All right. Favorite son.
I mean, it is season 3, though, right?
Oh, fuck, it's season 3. I wrote it down wrong. It's not the dankest episode at all. Boy, if I fuck up two more times.
Whoa.
I'm off the show.
Wow. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Everybody knows the rules around here.
Revert course.
Unless you've got something a little bigger in your torpedo tubes, I'm not turning around.
Ben, we open with another scene of wonder. We're doing this a lot, where as the Voyager crew, we are bearing witness to something scientific and interesting. Mm-hmm. This time, do or do not, there is no trinary star, is what they're looking at. And it's so spectacular to most people, but to Ensign Kim, it's almost like he's seen this a bunch of times before.
Didn't we already pass a trinary system like this?
Feels familiar, oddly familiar.
Yeah.
And there is a Vulcan way of describing what that is.
Paradoxical state-dependent associative phenomenon.
And there's a French way of describing what that is.
Déjà vu.
Every 7 years, my people experience déjà vu. Where we could swear we've been this horny before. We just can't place where exactly.
Yeah. So as they're discussing this, a ship pulls up to them and a captain that is just piled with loaf hails them up and seems to be friendly enough.
My respects to you. I'm Albin, captain of the Narada.
Despite his ominous amount of loaf.
He seems like a total pro.
Yeah.
Like the way he says this, he's like, hey, saw your ship, didn't recognize it, thought we'd check it out, you know.
Seems like a very unique, interesting design you got there.
I mean, we are also kind of on a Star Trek, so I'm sure you know how this goes.
I introduce myself and my ship, you introduce yourself and your ship.
It seems very perfunctory. Professional actions and words on both sides of the view screen here, but one person involved does not have any chill at all.
Yeah.
Raising shields and firing phasers.
Ensign Kim has zero chill.
Kim shoots first. He really pulls a Greedo here.
It really isn't Ensign Kim's reputation either. He usually waits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Usually makes sure that the other person has shot
before
he takes care of shooting his own phaser.
We're still trying to figure that out.
I was surprised in two ways. One, that you could transfer controls from one station to another. And two, that an ensign would have the ability to do it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, he does kind of snatch it away from Tuvok without asking. But it's all over the interface. It's like, you know, they have that thing now on Macs where you can like control your iPad screen with the mouse from your desktop. Like, it sort of seems like he just clicked and dragged Tuvok's browser over to his window.
If this were possible in like a contemporary workplace, I would have been caught surfing the internet a dozen times a day. Like if you could just snatch what was on my screen and pull it over to your workstation.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been fired 1,000 times over.
All right now, Lumberg, I'm kind of busy.
Adam, again, you can't do the New York Times crossword puzzle all day on company time.
Yeah. Adam, what is a live journal?
What's this Wordle you seem to be so interested in?
Yeah.
That's just a straight shooter with upper management written all over him.
We come back after the theme and it is a fucking firefight.
Yeah, it's bad. The ship that they are fighting has equal or better combat capability to the Voyager, and it is not experiencing a shortage of torpedoes. The torpedoes are raining down on Voyager.
Get us out of here.
Do you think this is kind of a rarity, the strategic equality of these two ships in Star Trek? I always feel like Voyager could kick ass or get its ass kicked, but so few of these skirmishes are like this.
Yeah.
Where they could like battle to a draw.
Right. I feel like they were like kind of afraid of the Kazon more because they were like huge ships and in great numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah, like usually it's like the Borg totally overmatched them.
And few people have the guts to fight the Vidians head on.
Right. Usually you have to blow up a parallel universe version of your own ship to kill Vidians.
Right. Yeah. I mean, bangers are getting dropped all over the place, and it's not just exclusive to the bridge. We cut around the ship, and damage is all over, including in engineering, where BLT takes a shot to the face.
Yeah.
We don't see the busted hose, but it's clearly a busted hose shooting a bunch of plasma at her.
Yeah. The firefight ends more or less with victory going to Voyager. They're not killing these people, but they have taken out their weapons array, and the ship recedes, and everybody kind of turns on the bridge to look at Harry like, Harry, what the fuck?
I want to know exactly what you thought you were doing.
I love Janeway here. Like, she ends the fight bringing the wood as hard as she can at this other ship, turns them away, and then carries that same amount of aggression right into Kim.
He's trying to explain himself. He's like, that whole welcome to Nasari territory line was a bunch of bullshit. They were not, in fact, welcoming us. They were getting ready to shoot us. And there is no strong evidence to support his case.
I'm suspending you from duty.
It's a uniquely Star Trek conflict where it's less about him having not followed orders and gone rogue and more about, wow, you're really acting strangely. Maybe you should get that checked out while you're suspended.
Yeah.
Because like in a military vessel, that would be like the top line thing. Like, you shot without me ordering you to shoot. We can't have that on the bridge.
You know what captains hate having to say more than anything is, we haven't fired.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It pisses us off. We don't like it. So go down to six bay, get that gash on your head looked at. And in the meantime, you're off duty. Security officer Kevin Nealon is going to escort you down there.
When you're suspended from your bridge duties, do you still get to use the holodeck or are you confined to quarters?
Oh, I don't know. It seems like the privilege of partying with a side schlong guy would be something that you would want to remove from somebody that's misbehaved the way Harry has.
I mean, depending on what you're into, that could also be a form of punishment.
I guess so.
But what is also a form of punishment is by Kim going to Six Bay, he gets to witness what his decisions have wrought.
B'Elanna almost got killed. It's my fault.
Yeah. The consequences of his action are that BLT looks like somebody who stayed at her post.
Yeah. She looks like someone who got a little too aggressive with the chocolate cake. Like, you know, like the pictures of a toddler given a cake too early for their age.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like she dipped her face and hands into that cake.
Yeah.
Our course is locked in.
Do it.
Listen to me very carefully because I'm only going to say this once.
Do it.
Cass is the one person on the ship that does not seem to be super pissed off at Harry. She's very sweet with him.
Harry, you can't undo what's been done.
But he feels super guilty about this. And, you know, he like was very certain of himself before, but is now in retrospect wondering what came over him. And it's kind of a shocking moment for him, too.
I love the emotional bends of a Cass telling you that you're doing the best you can, man. Like, it's tough out here. And Kim going, all right, thanks. You're really making me feel better. And then sauntering back out into the waiting arms of this guy with the dustbuster.
Young Kevin Nealon did not get distracted and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not over it. He's not over it then. He's not over it that night when he's trying to sleep.
Yeah. Harry has a bad dream featuring freshened up BLT and young Harry Kim with Mendocan pox and his mom, who is very disappointed with him.
All you need is some mandalamine lotion for those pox, right?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. He wakes up and tries to splash some water on his face, looks in the mirror, and he's looking like Mr. Timison with these patches around the fringes of his face.
Ah, there you are, my dear. Where have you been? I've been waiting for you.
You don't look in the mirror in Star Trek without seeing something fucked up looking back at you, right? There are no regular mirror looks.
Yeah. It's either a jump scare or a loaf situation.
I wish we lived in bathrooms a little longer on Star Trek 2, because like the way the sink works by pulling it out, I want to know more about, like, is it carpeted in your bathroom? Because that's...
Oh, yeah.
I've got some feelings about that I don't love.
That's the way the elderly do things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could argue that Starfleet ships are ships of the elderly in a lot of ways,
right,
in form and function. So
true.
Yeah.
So these patches on Harry's face are enough to send him back to Six Bay, where the doc explains that medically these are not a problem, but like Mr. Timison, he will have to commit suicide in a couple of decades.
Setting a standard age for the resolution makes it uniform for everybody.
Yes, I hadn't really thought of it that way.
I love how much Mr. Timison is being brought up as a concern. Like, let us never forget Mr. Timison.
Yeah. His daughter was Ro Laren. We gotta keep that guy in our hearts.
I know.
My father taught me to cherish the resolution.
One of the great dads.
Yeah, seriously. Smashed Loxana. That was good.
If that is my only reason to stay alive.
It's not enough.
Almost. Almost, but not quite.
In Six Bay, I couldn't help but wonder, if Kim is being suspended, why is he wearing his uniform around all the time? Instead of off-duty clothing?
Yeah.
The more I thought about this, the more I figured that it would have looked weirder if he did, right?
I guess so. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't want to lean into his suspension just yet.
And also, everyone's casual clothing is so brightly colored and fun. I feel like it would have been a visual contrast against the vibe you were supposed to have when you're with him, right?
I did read that there was a deleted scene in this episode where Harry goes from the sink over to his closet and he's like, I just don't feel like I have an outfit dour enough to reflect the fact that I'm off duty right now.
So he goes into Neelix's closet and it's like nothing but Kes's old onesies.
I thought they were very distinguished.
BLT is waking up while they are talking over in the corner of Six Bay, and she is in rough shape. She's going to need to spend at least another day, but she's all better. She and Harry kind of joke around a little bit, and then Harry's like, what happened to you, I kind of feel like, is my fault. And so he marches up to the ready room and throws himself on the mercy of the captain.
I thought it was weird how short he stopped in his apology, though, to BLT, because like he walks right up to the line of telling her why he would apologize. Because at the time, BLT's like, what do you have to worry about, man? Like, shit happens. We're in Star Trek. Like, eventually you're going to take a girder to the head, or your uniform full of Italian sausage is going to explode if you work in engineering. Like, these things happen. But Kim does not tie off the conversation in a way that he takes full responsibility for.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he feels like that's something he's reserving for the captain.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, oh boy, when Kim walks into Janeway's office, he's totally erect.
Yeah.
Like he's waiting to be told to at ease.
It's like the most military feeling moment I can remember in a long time in this show.
Yeah, and a reminder of how low an ensign is. Like, this is how he should be walking into Janeway's office every day.
It's how he should walk onto the bridge, you know?
Yeah.
He's throwing himself on her mercy, and she actually has some good news for him. His suspicion was right. That sudden feeling of suspicion and loathing that he had when he saw the ship was justified.
I was surprised by this, because it seemed like during the initial investigation, there would not be anything that indicated that this other ship was weapons hot.
No, it did not. But that Tetrion surge, it could have been anything, but they went through the data and found that it was, in fact, their weapons heating up.
Which brings us back to the larger question.
How did I know?
They walk out onto the bridge and they're getting attacked by more of these ships. But Harry Kim has an idea of where they can go to be safe.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out pretty well before his weird feelings about things in this area. So
let's throw the safety of the ship on the...
Yeah, using that as a justification for choosing Kim's suggestion here is how things play out.
Yeah, weird.
This gets weirder as it goes on.
Voyager falls out of warp in the system that Harry directed them to, and when he sees a planet on screen, he says, Teresia.
Yeah.
I already like it.
This is the planet from his dream, and it's a great planet because this planet sends a ship out to take out the bad guys, the Nassari, right away. They don't even ask.
We get a couple of scenes like this in this episode where ships just pass each other on their way to other things.
Yeah.
And this is like the first instance of that. This is great.
Yeah. Once the Nassari bug out, they get a message from the Teresian vessel. This lady comes on the screen and she's like, oh, there's Harry Kim. That's the guy we've been looking for. Really glad you're here, bud.
Yeah. In front of everyone on the bridge.
Yeah. And she's got the same kind of patches around her face as he does. So yeah. This is a real surprising moment.
You're Teresian. Welcome home.
What?
They look related.
So we get Harry Kim eyes to commercial. And when we come back, a Dustbuster Club have beamed down to this planet. And boy, what a welcoming committee they've got down here. It's a planet of babes, Adam.
I know it all seems strange now, but you are one of us, Harry. Can't you feel it?
This is such like a throwback to the Gene Roddenberry dream of the sexual science fiction future, right. Where like you're a man and you beam down to a planet full of smoke shows and they don't just want to be friends. They need to fuck you for procreation. Sometimes many of them at once.
And the bad news?
Yeah. I was a little frightened at first because one of these ladies is Terminator 3.
I know.
I was like, ah, get her away.
I like this car.
Get your phasers. She gives him a kiss on the lips. She walks right up to him.
She's great in this. She was great in Terminator 3, I thought.
I agree. I thought she was one of the highlights of that movie.
Yeah. I mean, the highlight for me was seeing Judgment Day at the end.
Mm.
That was a pretty brave choice for an ending to a movie.
So, yeah, see, this is a big expo dump in this scene where the older of these ladies explains that, yeah, like you're not in fact human, you're Teresian. It's like your whole life up until now has been a study abroad, but now you're home.
We call these embryos ropes that we shoot into space and they just they land where they will. Impregnating whatever planet's female population happens to be there. And Kim is very defensive of his own mother during the telling of this story.
Yeah.
It gets kind of dark here.
What did you do to her? My mother.
She would have thought you were her natural child.
Some non-consensual impregnation seems to be core to the way Teresians reproduce, which is pretty fucked up.
It's a good thing Taman is there to kind of soften the hard edges of this story and this new situation, because Taman's like, hey, dude, as he's being caressed by his own group of smoke shows.
Don't be afraid to indulge yourself, Harry.
I know this can be really hard to process when this information gets imparted to you, but trust me, women will put their hands on you basically nonstop every waking hour for the rest of your life. So it's not all bad.
Unless you have sensitive face skin, this is really going to be great for you. Look at my face being touched by older women, all of them at once.
I know this is called Teresia, but I like to call it Planet Nurk. Just nothing but nurking down here.
Holy shit, it's Howard Hamlin from Better Call Saul.
You're a shitty lawyer, Howard. Fuck you, Jimmy.
I couldn't believe that it's the same actor. And the thing that tipped me off is his way of speaking. It's been like decades between this show and Better Call Saul, but like his voice hasn't changed at all.
Just enjoy yourself while you're here.
It was great to see a youthful version of this actor.
I haven't seen that show based on how bad Breaking Bad was.
I think you'll like Better Call Saul.
I just assume that Better Call Saul is also bad.
Well, you might give it a try. I like it a lot.
Oh, and this guy's in it?
Yeah.
Is he constantly surrounded by young women?
I think there's less face touching in that program than this.
Sounds like you're pretty lucky.
All the dudes are expected to marry several ladies.
Yeah, this is a fact that really delights Paris when Taman tells him.
Am I making any sense here?
Paris is like, can I get some of that DNA?
Yeah. Lyris tells Janeway that Kim was the rope that traveled the furthest.
Yeah.
To be implanted in the womb of an Earth woman.
Probably one of the first ones they shot then, if that's the case, right?
Yeah. Or he's the first to come back from as far away as,
yeah.
as he went. Very Founders-esque, actually, come to think of it.
It is.
We really panspermia'd the hell out of these people, and we're really impressed at how quickly you got back here.
That thing that was happening on Voyager with Kim, where he sort of knew things before they happened,
yeah.
is kind of playing out while he's on the surface. He kind of knows how things work on this planet without being taught them.
Yeah, he knows how to use their very confusing-looking forks when Terminator 3 brings over some asparagus for him to try.
I prepared it myself.
Yeah, no asparagus for you, Paris. You get to sit in the corner and watch.
Really?
Well, I've got to get that
platinum.
Get that
lobe enlargement.
This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and your drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out your winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Hey, maybe you're getting away on weekends, getting into a swimsuit, into a sexy situation where you're not wearing pants at all. You want to look your best from head to toe. Get yourself some Manscaped products. You know, it doesn't just have to be your junk. You know, they've got the Beard Hedger Pro Kit and a Handyman Electric Face Shaver. They make great stuff, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And you'll get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
Good, fast, and cheap. Pick three? That's right. Today's episode is sponsored in part by Factor. And Factor meals hit all three sides of the triangle. They are good. They taste really tasty. They've never been frozen. And they are chef-created, dietitian-approved meals. Fast. These meals are ready in as little as 2 minutes if you're using a microwave, or just a couple of more minutes if you're using a toaster oven. And cheap. They are very affordable and a great way to fill out your weekly meal budget with some options that are not going to break the bank. And guess what? Factor's also eco-conscious. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/scarves50 and use the code SCARVES50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code SCARVES50 at factormeals.com/scarves50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second, go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
To get that
Latin.
Are you planning a heist?
gold.
Most of the away team beams back to the ship, and Harry Kim is like, I'm going to stick down here and keep eating some of the cooking from the locals.
Yeah.
Spice Tatana.
This could be exciting.
And when they go back up, Doc Holliday starts showing Janeway what his research has revealed, which is that like all of the dormant genetic material in his DNA was actually hidden Teresian DNA that is now becoming more and more active as he got closer to this part of space. And it's full of genetic memory. Like, that's why he like remembered all these things and had these instincts. And so it kind of seems like what the Teresians told everyone is true.
Kim has been walking around with hidden genes inside his normal genes.
He's a never nude.
Mm-hmm.
Is that exactly what it sounds like?
And it's a big reason why he's been walking around so stiffly.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yes, those are your Teresian genes.
Yeah, why he uses so much talc.
Right. He's kind of a person in a bottle that way, right? Like the Teresians shoot these ropes out into space, and then if someone's lucky enough to find the note, maybe that could be a fun thing.
Down on the planet, he has offered some chill-out drugs that he refuses. I don't know why Starfleets are so stuck up about drugs.
Drugs can make you feel good.
Why do they always refuse? Because these drugs sound even better than the ones a couple episodes ago.
I know. It just lightens the mood.
Yeah.
And there's no side effects.
Yeah. I mean, that was like the first thing he said.
You'll like it.
What are you afraid of, Kim?
What about no side effects sounds bad to you?
Yeah.
I think I'll pass. Thanks.
Yeah. Malia and Taman are getting married later. And Kim is invited. One interesting thing about this marriage, though, is that Taman and his lady friend aren't exclusive.
Yeah.
No one's exclusive on Teresia.
We'll all be joined with Taman tonight.
This is a one guy marrying three ladies wedding that they have planned for the evening. And Harry Kim is going to see how this goes. And I feel like it'd be just so hard to have a conversation on this planet. Like, somebody is constantly coming up and like giving you a neck rub or like trying to rub your chest or whatever, stab you with drugs.
I wouldn't last very long here. I mean, as fun as it seems initially, like, I really do want to be left alone most of the time.
Yeah.
They kind of sense Kim's discomfort and offer him a change of clothes as if that's going to help things, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you get on out of that scratchy uniform and into something that drapes a little looser?
You look so encumbered in that pair of jeans that you're wearing over another pair of jeans.
Yeah.
Wouldn't a deep V be better?
Everybody here wants you to be happy.
Up in space, the Voyager has gone back to confront the three Nassari ships that are just kind of like hanging around off in the distance. And they're like, hey, so we kind of got in a scrape before, seemed like you were about to shoot us. And the guy's like, yeah. But that was because that one guy was on your ship and I'm not going to fuck with you as long as he stays off your ship.
You may have noticed I wasn't shooting at you this time. Pretty good reason for that. That one guy's back on Teresia, which, by the way, is a place we've heard some pretty strange things about. But Janeway isn't trying to hear the rumors about Teresia, which I think is strange.
There's coffee and any facts you can give me.
She's like, I've seen what those people look like. They're all lovely. Look at you. Have you looked in a mirror recently? You couldn't hold a candle to them.
Janeway's like, all right, cool. So I guess the rules of this interaction are, as long as we don't have a Teresian on board, things will be fine with us. And he's like, yeah. But if Kim's back on board your ship the next time I see you, I'm going to start shooting and I'm not going to lose a minute of sleep over it. So Voyager turns around and heads back to Teresia, except this time there is a shield grid protecting the planet that wasn't there before. And this comes as a surprise to everyone.
Yeah.
And it's also preventing them from getting a hold of Harry Kim. They've been shut out.
Harry doesn't even know that they're back in orbit.
This is a private wedding ceremony. It's like when celebrities get married, they don't want helicopters flying over. That's what this is about, right?
Right, yeah. There's tons of secrecy surrounding it. So yeah, he goes to this wedding. He's changed into something a little bit more comfortable, but I wouldn't quite call it wedding attire.
No. Yeah.
The invites apparently said deep V casual.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tasteful V, I guess.
I guess.
It's not too plunging.
No. So everybody gets a bow staff.
You'd think everyone would be wearing pineapple patterned clothing on this planet, right? Given what that means.
Yeah, he should have just put on his Hawaiian shirt from a couple of episodes ago. He would have been perfectly dressed.
Pineapple motif. That would be great.
You want to be the guy that brings a pineapple to a wedding as a wedding gift. Maybe Harry Kim.
So we see this wedding ceremony, and Harry Kim actually like knows how to do all the things. And part of the ceremony is putting a blindfold on Taemin, tying his hands up, like he's being bound to his new brides.
Kind of like this. I like watching this go down. I think Kim likes watching this too.
Do you find it exciting?
When the joining is complete, still blindfolded, Taemin is kind of ushered out by his veiled brides, and everybody expresses their excitement by banging their bow staffs against the floor.
The joining is complete.
This is an interesting scene because it is the realization of what you need to do when you're a creative writer for Star Trek, right? Like, what does an alien wedding look like? What are the things they might do? For this one, it's body paint, a blindfold, and some long sticks. Doesn't seem too crazy.
Yeah. I know that people out there have redone the wedding ceremony of Worf and Jadzia mm-hmm. in real life. I wonder if anybody has done the Teresian wedding ceremony.
I think that would be great.
Yeah. I mean, if there are poly people in the Trek community, which I am sure there are, why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. This would be awesome. Invite us to one of these weddings.
Yeah. Let us come. We'll, I don't know, DJ it or something.
If you have to blindfold me, that's fine.
Just don't tell the missus.
When the ceremony is over, Kim ducks out to blow in a call to Voyager. And when he can't do that, Lyris kind of reassures him that it's nothing to worry about and gives him a, hey, don't worry about it drink.
Yeah, don't sweat it.
Which I immediately thought was suspicious. I didn't want him to drink this drink.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't turn out being anything.
It's probably got some of that relaxation drug in it.
Yeah.
Be careful, Harry.
Everything does.
Yeah, you should at least ask, right?
You should.
Before you drink something down here?
Yeah.
If you're worried about psychoactive substances?
Be a good idea. It's considerate is what it is.
It would be considerate. So back on Voyager, Chakotay and the captain check in on Six Bay, where the doctor's like, hey, you know all that stuff I said before about the DNA lying dormant in his system? Turns out that was a lie.
He's human. Yes.
So what's going on here are like the genes inside are busting through the genes outside, sort of like a real Bruce Banner turning into the Hulk situation.
It turns out a Teresian is not the father. Ensign Kim just picked up a bad case of Teresian DNA on an away mission at some point. This is a scam.
This would have been a good moment for a Born This Way remix version of a song written with custom lyrics about Kim and his genes, but I didn't have time to write it or put it together.
You also, I noticed, didn't have time to make a tiki beverage or prepare to fulfill your obligations in any other way.
No, yeah. You get the bare minimum for me today, Ben.
Hey, you're putting up with a puppy. That's more than the bare minimum. But we need that tiki drink at some point in the not too distant future.
I get
it. Before the end of season three, you got to make up the tiki.
All right. Okay.
Objection noted. We'll do this without you.
Do it.
Do it. Objection noted. We'll do this without you.
Do it.
I like the callback here. Kim may have been infected on the away mission on that planet full of seductive travelers.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun. I mean, that's probably a trading card here with these Star Trek Voyager cards. Like, it just gives you a star date and you're supposed to remember what episode it's from.
Yeah.
Stardate 50698.
The doctor neglects to mention anything about he went crazy and tried to murder people on that very same mission, which I thought was great. Like, you'll clearly remember it was the away mission with the Christmas tree farm and those interesting travelers, and absolutely nothing else happened.
There wasn't really anything remarkable about that mission until now. And now that we know that Harry caught this illness on that mission, that kind of became the first and most interesting thing.
Back on Teresia, one of the babes walks Kim back to bed. This is like going home after a date. Like, this is not stopping in a driveway and the date gets out and goes in. Like, this date goes right all the way back into the bedroom.
Get into bed.
In the most seductive way possible.
Harry kind of makes a joke about this. Like, he asks if she's going to tuck him in.
Yeah.
I kind of liked that as a ploy. Like, yeah, it's just a tradition. It's like something that parents do to their kids.
That's sweet.
I kind of feel like that dumps a bucket of water on the idea that they're going to hook up, like putting it in that way.
Yeah, because the mention of parents and kids is a nice pitcher of cold water on the junk.
Yeah.
On any date.
I mean, a lot of people, you know, go home with somebody after a wedding in particular and hook up, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not really the mood that Harry is in.
The babe can tell, so she starts rubbing some aromatherapy liquid onto his face. And this makes his dreams get really weird again.
She says, this'll help with some of those dark splotchy bits.
The essence of rica flowers. It's very soothing.
Applied directly to the forehead.
Yeah, he has another crazy, crazy dream. And this one involves a lot of making out with this lady on the ship and down on the planet. And making out with other ladies as well. And when he wakes up, he's got Rinna and Eliane in his bed with him.
What are you doing here?
They want his clarinet big time.
Yeah, they really do.
Only Kim doesn't want to play it for them.
Look, I appreciate the offer, but I'd really rather be alone.
He doesn't like that they just kind of don't respect his touch bubble. Like, they won't keep their hands off of him, and he's kind of made his desires known. He starts putting on his shoes, and they're like, no, don't do that. Like, stay here with us. And so he starts to kind of mimic some of the stuff from the wedding, which is blindfolding, gagging, tying people to chairs, and eventually clubbing Rinna in the back of the head to knock her out.
This was a real escalation, I thought. It's one thing to tie some people up, but yikes, yeah. Like a skull fracture to one of the babes. Ouch.
Rinna really catches it.
Sorry about that.
This is all the feelings of a jailbreak, right? Because Kim escapes out into the hallway, and he's skulking around, and he finally knocks on Taman's door, and he's like, hey, buddy.
Psst. Taman.
You in there fucking? You fucking right now?
It's Harry.
Can I come in?
I really need your help.
I'm kind of freaked out here.
What you don't do after you suspect that the door you've knocked on is filled with fuckers is just go into that room.
I know. He's like, it doesn't smell like sex precisely. What is that smell, actually?
Oh, he finds out. He finds out and finds Taman's desiccated, drained body. And the creepiest part of it is how big his smile is.
Yeah, Taman looks like he checked into a room at the Royale.
Yeah. Here's to feeling good all the way to the end.
Taman knew that if you've got to win, you've got to play. But Harry does not want to play.
No.
And he takes a sharp object from the bedside table and is heading toward the door when it opens up and Terminator 3 comes in. And Harry holds this knife to her neck and makes her explain what happened. And she's like, oh, yeah, like we... There's three girls to every boy in a marriage here because we use all of the cells in their body in order to conceive a child. It's the only way we can reproduce here.
They use all parts of the boy buffalo. If Malia had been the same character as the one that she played in Terminator 3, this scene would have ended a lot differently.
Yeah, that would have been Harry's ass.
Yeah. But as it is, Harry throws her onto the bed, like knocking over the other babe.
Yeah.
Like so many bowling pins, and he gets the hell out of there.
That he does, but he's brought a knife to a bow staff fight, and he is pretty quickly surrounded by ladies holding these ceremonial sticks, and the fight gets pretty rugged.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder how much of a beating you could take and still fuck, you know?
Why won't you do this to me?
Nowhere to go.
I guess so.
Did you notice all the doors look very vaginal on this planet, on Teresia?
I did notice that.
Yeah.
They've got a real aesthetic down there.
That's a nice detail. I can never find the doorbell, though. You know? Like.
Yeah. It's like, did you see how Harry had to get into Taman's door? It's not the way to do it, man. You want to ease yourself in.
I'm knocking louder and harder and faster, but like that's all I know how to do.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So they're like telling him he can't escape while the Voyager beams him up, and they get him out of there just in time. They've like pushed through the shielding surrounding the planet, and they're sort of caught in the middle, right? The Teresians and the Nassari are shooting at Voyager and at each other, but the second Voyager gets out from in between them, they're allowed to fly away.
Yeah.
And they leave a space battle in the rearview mirror.
Pretty great. Just ships passing in the night. Voyager doesn't want any part of this.
Let's not give them a chance to change their mind.
What did this episode not have any of up until now? Cringe-inducing Neelix scenes.
Oh, finally.
So the button on the episode is Harry Kim telling the story of Odysseus and the Sirens to Neelix, and Neelix like pinching his cheek like he's like a weird aunt. Neelix is so weird in this scene.
This scene itself is totally weird. I wondered why it was here. They didn't need it.
They didn't need it. Like the Harry blowing smoke up Paris's ass and then Paris blowing smoke right back up Harry's ass. Like everything about the scene was like, what is this? Get this out of here.
Hey, friend, I like the way you seduce. Hey, buddy, right back at you.
I like the way you do your job and are good at it and things.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know about this ending, but do you know how you feel about the episode? Did you like it?
I'm giving you an order. I'm giving you an order. Is that understood? I'm giving you an order. I'm giving it. You have just crossed the line.
I think overall, I liked it on the level of it being that kind of vintage horny trek.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Roddenberry feeling in the way you described.
Yeah. It seems impossible that Roddenberry didn't write at least portions of this story.
Yeah. But it's fun. Like, it doesn't go over the line too many times into the, like, gross or skeevy. So I guess overall I liked it.
Yeah.
Pretty entertaining.
Sure.
I don't think it's, like, that smart an episode, but it's good, fun, dumb Trek, I would say.
It is kind of a throwback. Last couple episodes have felt that way, I think.
They really have.
They felt like early seasons TNG.
Yeah.
I like the episode for the same reasons, Ben. It also crystallized an idea for me that was like the idea of a character vacation as being something that many of the Voyager crew have gotten to do this season. And this being sort of Kim's turn. Chakotay got a turn. Kes got a turn.
Right.
BLT got a turn. They've all had their episode where they're central to the story and they've either become someone else. I mean, the Doctor got a turn, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that seems to be a theme of the season, really. Everyone having a turn, becoming someone different from who they are. And I thought that was an interesting play on it for Ensign Kim. One thing about what Kim goes through, though, I found very interesting was that Kim never feels any of the emotions of living a lie once he's told that his entire life is a lie. Like, that part is totally glossed over.
Yeah.
In a way that I really could have added some pathos to it. Like, it didn't need to be a long, drawn-out thing, but he's momentarily upset about what may have happened to his mom. But he's way less upset about the idea of thinking he was something that he wasn't the whole time. And
right.
That truth being hidden from him. And
there should be some like body horror to it too,
yes,
right? Like his genetics were being rewritten.
It's unclear how much of that was the DNA at work.
Yeah.
And how much of it was Kim seeing a way out of his circumstances. But yeah, that was a weird angle that the episode didn't take. And I was curious about why.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like maybe they just didn't have enough time. But
you can't take out that final scene, Ben. You got to leave that in there. No time for anything else.
Well, we can't take out these priority one messages, Adam. Should we go check, see what's in the inbox?
I mean, if we can't take them out, we got to put them in.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental. Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone, could be enough to buy this ship.
Just one priority one message today, Adam. It's from Timo, And it is to Ben and Adam. Goes like this. I'm a big Voyager fan. I fondly remember watching it on Saturdays. Unfortunately, I'm losing my eyesight, which means that it is getting harder to enjoy TV shows. Your podcast and commentary not only bring me a lot of enjoyment throughout the week, it helped me to enjoy a dimension of Star Trek that is otherwise inaccessible to me. Thank you.
Whoa.
Wow. Tebow, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, and I'm really sorry to hear you're losing your eyesight. That is a really tough thing to go through.
I'm really surprised to hear that we are providing a service in this case.
Yeah. I'd say that the one upside is that you're never going to have to look at Neelix's feet ever again.
I mean, one other upside is you might never have to look at me or Ben.
Yeah. Any rewatch you do, you will not see the back of Tuvix's head.
Yeah. Big plus.
Yeah. I know that those are, you know, merely silver linings to a pretty tough thing. But, you know, just trying to look on the bright side.
Yeah. Thanks for writing in, Timo. Happy to contribute in some small way to your enjoyment of Star Trek.
Indeed. Thanks for getting a P1. And if folks out there would like to get a P1, go ahead and head to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Set it up today.
I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager. I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Do it. Hey, Adam.
What's that, Ben?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
I mean, Paris doesn't have a lot to do this episode, but what he does do is hilarious to me.
I have never seen so many beautiful women in my life.
The way he gets his junk stomped on the surface with all of these babes basically in service to Kim and totally ignoring him,
yeah,
is big fun. B-Dunk's doing a lot here in a non-verbal way to express how disappointed he is in how this is going down. I just thought it was big, big fun. I mean, maybe the most fun part of the episode for me was just looking around for Kim,
yeah,
and seeing how he'd respond in a situation like this. What about you?
Yeah, like I was going to give it to Taman, but in thinking about why I was going to give it to Taman, I think I'm actually going to shift that onto Paris. Because I kind of feel like if Paris had been in Harry's situation and escaped and seen the desiccated corpse of Taman, he would have been like, oh, so they're just going to fuck me to death? Cool, I'm heading back to my room.
Yeah.
You might want to reconsider that, Harry.
Doesn't sound half bad.
He's remarkably cool with this. I mean, you bring up an interesting point. Did he know this was coming?
I don't think he did. I also thought about what did Taman look like before he started looking the way the Teresians do. Like,
oh, right.
What if Taman was like a Vidian before?
Maybe the Teresians have the cure for the Vidian phage and it's just getting fucked to death on Teresia.
What if he looked like a Nasari? What if he had all that loaf and then it like slowly went away?
You know what? That would have been really interesting if that's why the Nasari hate the Teresians.
Yeah. It's got to be part of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it seems like there's more story left on this bone.
More to be explored here, but we'll have to see what happens next week. I'm going to tell you about our next episode, which is Season 3, Episode 21, Before and After. Kes begins traveling backwards through time from the moment of her death. With each shift, she comes closer to a solution, but she also grows months and years younger at a time.
Huh. I didn't think that's how it was going to go for her.
It sounds like that Worf episode toward the end of TNG, where he comes like unmoored in time.
Do you think there's a chance that Kes enters a Batleth tournament?
Yeah, I could see her winning champion standing.
Yeah, many people were maimed.
Well, to find out how we will be doing that episode, I've got to head to gach.biz/game, where we keep the game of buttholes, the will of the caretaker. And I'm going to go ahead and set up my roll here. We are on square 29 at the moment, right toward the end of the third row. The only thing I think we can hit is that Delta Flyer square, which would take us up to a measure of a man on square 87.
You're required to learn as you play. Roll.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and roll this bone. What do you say?
Roll it.
Did I win?
Hardly.
Wow. I kept us on the third row, Adam. I rolled a one, and we advanced to square 30.
Wow. We're at the end of the third row, where we belong. Mm-hmm. Where somehow we'll end up staying, even though next week's roll will have to kick us up to the fourth.
Right. It just seems inevitable that we kind of stay down here in the lower quadrant of the board.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be next week. In the meantime, anybody that enjoys the program, get ready. The Max Fun Drive is coming really soon.
It's right around the corner.
It's like 2 weeks out, right?
Everyone knows it's the best time to support the greatest generation and the greatest discovery.
Yeah. And we're hoping folks will support both shows. We have some really exciting ideas for bonuses if that happens. And we already have tons and tons of bonus episodes in the member feed. So get ready. Get those wallets ready to go. We really appreciate the hard work of Wendy Pretty, the producer of the Uxbridge Shimoda family of products. We also appreciate Bill Tilly, the card daddy who runs the At Greatest Trek social media accounts, and Adam Ragusea, who made all the original theme music for this show, and of course based his work off of what Dark Materia did with the Picard song all those years ago.
Hey, if you're listening to this episode the day it comes out, this week the Double Dumbass Tour is going to be in Boston, Brooklyn, and Washington, D.C., so we hope to see a ton of friends of DeSoto at those three shows. We're going to be meeting Wendy Pretty in real life for the first time.
For the first time!
In Washington, D.C. this week. I'm excited and nervous to do that. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I hope she doesn't kick our asses.
I mean, we deserve it. We've given her a ton of guff.
Yeah, we do give her a ton of guff. But come out to the shows. We'll see you there. Really looking forward to getting back into some of our favorite venues on the East Coast and drinking tons and tons of wine. If you're coming to that City Winery show, get ready to take some to the Dome with us.
Yeah, that is a reliably fun show, the years that we've done it at City Winery. It's going to be great. Come on out. It'll be fun. Promise.
With that, we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek Voyager and an episode of The Greatest Generation Voyager, where Adam and I try various anti-aging skin creams to see if we can follow the trajectory of Cass.
I could use some of that, especially around my eyes.
Yeah.
Getting baggy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Baggy and crinkly.
I've been meaning to say something.
Yeah. It's no good.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.